now let's meet our award-winning panel of What's My Line. First, the popular columnist whose voice of Broadway appears in papers coast to coast, Miss Dorothy Kilgallen.
And on my left, our favorite comedian, Joey Bishop.
And to my left, a young lady who had just returned from a triumphant tour, a one-day visit with her son Peter in Deerfield, Arlene Francis.
And now our darling publisher, whose Random House, like Topsy, just grows and grows and grows, Mr. Bennett, sir.
And here's our fantastic panel moderator who can make the complicated explanation of a news story of great international significance seem simpler than a routine answer to a simple question from a beleaguered member of this panel, John Charles Francis Tui Daly.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What's My Line. Nice to have you with us again, Mr. Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Daly.
We also have some very interesting occupations on tap to give the panel some trouble. We'll also have a famous mystery challenger before the panel a little bit later in the program. And now let's meet our first challenger. Will you enter and sign in, please? The...
My God...
Flaherty Brothers, is that right? Well, gentlemen, I think the only thing for me to do is to ask you to sound off. Will we begin on this side, please?
Garland.
Thaddeus. Thaddeus. Charles.
John.
John.
Roscoe.
John and Roscoe Flaherty. All Flahertys. And where are you all from?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. Well, it's nice to have you all with us. May I present the panel, the Flahertys. And now will you all join me over here and... arrange yourselves around, about, and so forth. And do you all know how we keep score?
Yes, sir.
In that event, let's let the audience in the theater and those looking in at home know exactly what your line is.
The five Flaherty brothers are bartenders.
All right, panel, we can tell you that our mystery challenger, all five of him... are self-employed, and they deal in a service, and we'll begin the general questioning with Dorothy Kilgallen.
Do you have anything to do with horses?
No.
One down and nine to go, Mr. Bishop.
Am I safe in assuming that you do not play touch football against the Kennedy brothers?
You are safe.
Is it a service that requires all of you being present?
You mean in a group, or...
Yes.
No, I would have to give you a no on that. Two down and eight to go, Miss Francis.
Messrs. Flaherty's, could I use your service?
Yes, you may.
If I lived in your part of the country, would I be liable to use your service?
Possibly.
In doing what you do, would you ever come to the house?
Could.
Sometimes.
That would be a sometimes.
I could go to an office or a store or a someplace that you are and get your service the same way, could I?
Yes.
Do you do anything that changes something materially?
Do you do something that changes something materially? I don't think
so that you would notice the change.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think here, with your permission, gentlemen, since the question was posed as change materially, we'll give a no answer, because I'm afraid that might be misleading otherwise. Three down and seven to go, Mr. Sir.
Mrs. Flaherty, when you're performing the service that I'm sure you perform so beautifully, you come into physical contact at any time with the person for whom you were performing said service.
Yes, that's right.
Just a minute now. Bennett, we've had a meeting of the full committee.
I saw you.
And you guessed it, Bennett.
You're going to give me a no.
That's right, Bennett. That makes it $4.06 to go, Mr. Kilgallen. No physical contact necessary. If it did come, it would be accidental.
Do people watch you do what you do?
Yes, sir.
Do they pay to watch you?
Yes.
Indirectly.
I think that's a fair answer there. There is a payment made, but we would not suggest that it necessarily was made only to watch what was being done.
Are people better off because of what you do?
I think we let the answer stand that our guests think so.
You're self-employed?
Not, some are and some are not.
Oh,
actually, the majority are self-employed, but...
You mean like one employs the others? Is that the idea?
No, it isn't that. I'd say of the five brothers, three might be self-employed, two might be in the same occupation, but working for
somebody
else.
But they all do the same thing?
They all do the same thing.
Oh. Do you follow people around ever?
No. Five down and five to go, Mr. Bishop.
Would the song, "There'll Be Some Changes Made," be a good slogan for your outfit?
I wouldn't think so. No. Six down and four to go, Miss Francis.
When you are purveying your service, would you be dealing with any animate objects of any kind? Even though that isn't, even though there is no product involved in what you do, is it necessary for a product to be there for you to do whatever you do?
Yes.
To it.
With.
Yes.
Yes.
Positive.
So where am I? are the products that you might have to do with of different sizes?
Yes. Sort of.
Well, we could say that at one stage of their interest in the products with which they're dealing, that there is an element of difference in the size of the relationship of the product one to the other.
I did ask you that. I did say these are inanimate products.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's nothing live that they have to
That's
do
right.
anything to. Would it have anything to do with auctioning or selling of any kind of products?
Well, there's an element of selling involved, I would say, yes.
I'm going to pass. I don't know where I am.
Bennett?
Sitting pretty, kid.
Thank you.
Do any of you or all of you have to belong to any kind of a union to do the kind of work that you're doing?
No, sir. No.
It is not mandatory. At the same time, this does not rule out that union membership would not
be used.
Viable in this case.
Does your work have anything whatever to do with the law?
The law?
Policing.
No, I don't think so. No. Seven down and three to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Do you work indoors more than outdoors?
Indoors.
Would you ever work in the home?
Sometimes.
And you would change something in the home?
Well, no. I think we basically said that they didn't change anything materially. That question was answered negatively. So.
But they made something look different, don't they? Or they make some difference?
Well, they felt that there was one point of argument here, but I think that on the issue of do they change something materially, we determined that the answer to that should be no as a point of information.
Well, when you go into the homes, do you talk to the people?
Oh, yes.
Do you give them any advice?
Well, this would be perhaps a result of just idle conversation, yes.
But they don't go there for idle conversation.
No, I would think that's fair.
And you don't touch any people?
That's right.
Do you touch anything?
Yes.
Do you ask for anything?
No. That's eight down and two to go. I'm going to give you one more minute, Mr. Bishop.
I think you guys got a lot of nerve coming here tonight. Are your services primarily for the female sex?
No.
Nine down and one to go, Miss Francis.
Do they remove anything?
At one point, perhaps, in your service, you would be say they removed something.
Well, Bennett has an idea. Do you repair anything?
No.
Oh,
no repair.
I thought
then
it was garbage.
No more to go.
Gee, Cuddy, you never really get on the track of it because it's they all do the same
Tommy?
Thing, and it's Louisville, and we just passed Derby
Louisville
Week.
Louisville Bluegrass.
Bluegrass, that's a very good clue, Bluegrass. Does it tell you anything?
They're farmers.
Bartenders, that's absolutely right. And we had to take a majority count on the issue of self-employed because Roscoe and John and Fad have just opened their own establishment in the, what is it?
The Essex House, the Shamrock by the Essex House.
And their other two brothers are in the famous Brown Hotel, right?
That's right.
What's the drink most in demand?
Martinis.
That is after water, of course.
What about that?
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's nice to have you all in What's My Line. Hope you've enjoyed being with us. Good night. All right, let's meet our next challenger. Would you enter and sign in, please? Nellie Winnick, right, ma'am? Is it Miss or Mrs.?
Mrs.
Mrs. Winnick, and where are you from?
Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur, Illinois. It's nice to have you with us. May I present the panel?
How do you do?
Now, would you join me over here? Do you know how we keep score, Mrs. Winnick? Fine, then we'll let the audience in the theater and the audience at home know exactly what your line is.
Mrs. Winnick is vice president of a kite manufacturing concern.
All right, panel. Mrs. Winnick is salaried and deals in a product. And we'll begin the general questioning with Joey Bishop.
She's the Flaherty Brothers' best customer. Is the product that you deal in something that any one of the members of this panel would be interested in?
Would be interested in, yes.
Yes. Is it a product for the home?
You mean by this to adorn the home or to be used as a part of the day-to-day operation of a household?
Or what else, John? Ask me another one. Maybe I'll answer you.
Maybe I have to give you a no in those terms of reference. That's one down and nine to go, Miss Francis.
Is it a product that would ever come in contact with the person that was using it? Is it a product that would be on the outside of a person?
When they were using it, yes. Mm-hmm.
Would it be considered in any form apparel?
Mm-hmm. Would it be apparel? No, that's two down and eight to go, Mr. Sir.
Mrs. Winnick, is your product used by both sexes?
Yes.
Indiscriminately, evenly?
Yes.
Well, I would say it would hard to lay down, you know, in specific terms, but I think the fairest answer is to say it's used by both sexes.
I
would consider it possible one might use it more than the other, but it's used by both.
Is it a reasonably inexpensive product, Mrs. Winnick? Would it be used quite frequently by people?
I would say those who had it and had an interest in its use would use it frequently, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it ever put down in a place that's visible in the home?
There are circumstances under which it would be put down in a place where it would be visible in the home, yes.
If it was put down in such a place, would it most likely be put down in the dining room or kitchen?
Yes, that's nice. Well, I would say that if it were put down, it is likely to be put down in one of those two rooms, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm.
Might the kitchen be more likely than the dining room?
Just having in mind the usual experience or the normal record of experience, I think perhaps the kitchen would be a likely room, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm.
Would, Mrs. Winnick, this product then be of any use in the preparation of meals?
No, I don't think so. Three down and seven to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Mrs. Winnick, I'm going to ask one of those questions that I always ask wrong. May I rule out false teeth? Ask it right this time. Is it something that shows when the person is wearing it?
The assumption of wearing there gets you the no answer.
Oh, it's adornment, but it isn't worn, is that it?
No, we haven't said that either. That's four down and six to go.
Apparel? What did you
know?
I got a no on apparel.
Are we ruling out the fact that costume jewelry or anything in that category would be adornment?
We're not ruling it out. I mean, if you want to ask the specific question as to whether this product is an adornment to the person, if used...
Well, let me ask you this, John. If I start to ask it and you reach for the card, can I withdraw the question?
Yes.
Is it in the field of costume? Let me ask you this. We have determined that the female would be more likely to wear it than the...
It's deadlier than the male.
No, and you're going back. It has been determined that it is not worn.
It is
you
not
must worn. Remember this, yeah. And it, on the issue of its use, we agree that it is used by both sexes, but we don't feel that we're qualified to state whether one definitely uses it more than another, or
is it perhaps
like
a product that is edible?
Is it edible?
No.
No. That's five down and five to go, Miss Francis.
Is there something corrective or healing in this product?
No. Six down and four to go, Mr. Sir.
Would there anything in this product that might dispose of things like a garbage can or a waste basket?
No. Seven down and three to go, Miss Kilgallen.
Could this ever be used as a weapon?
No.
Not for
a no. Eight down and two to go. Not meant to be, Mr. Bishop.
Tune in next week, folks, and see the new panel. Is it perhaps something that would be used in terms of cleanliness?
No. Nine down and one to go, Miss Francis.
Would you be liable to put it up somewhere?
It is described as being put up, yes. Mm-hmm.
Put up.
It has nothing to do with...
Wallpaper.
No, it's a material of some kind. Well, all right, let's find out what the material is. Is the material a paper?
Yes.
Often.
Has Mr. Bennett Cerf got it? Is it wallpaper, and is this lady a paper hanger?
No.
Thank you a lot, Bennett Cerf, for the second time.
You and your random house. Go read your books. It was a good idea.
But actually, you were on the track putting up some paper. If you can't put up wallpaper, you'd think of kites now, wouldn't you?
Kites?
Kites.
She's a kite maker? Mrs.
No, actually, sells kites.
Oh.
Sells kites. Yes, darling?
Sells kites for the kitchen?
Kite in the kitchen?
No, well, a youngster who is playing, I tried to tell you that, you know, this is something that could come into the house and you could find it. A youngster coming in from play with a kite would put it down somewhere
That's
in the kitchen.
Right,
it's not barred from
You've
the house.
You run the sloppiest house, John.
No kitchen should be without a kite.
No kitchen. None of we have any choice in it. Actually, Mrs. Winnick is a vice president of the High Flyer Manufacturing Company. One interesting aspect of this, Mrs. Winnick told me, you are remaking an order.
We have a repeat.
Have a repeat order from the United States Navy. The 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean has reordered on the basis of their original experience with a kite they had made that had a message in eight languages written on it. What was it?
The United States 6th Fleet, Power for Peace.
And in the Mediterranean, the 6th Fleet's in the Mediterranean, and they give these kites to youngsters all over the Mediterranean. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, thank you very much for puzzling the panel completely. Nice to have you with us. Now we come to the special feature of our program, the appearance of our mystery challenger, for which the panel is always blindfolded. Are the blindfolds in place, panel?
Yeah.
Good. Well, you enter, mystery challenger, and sign in, please.
Tonight's mystery challengers are the singing Crosby brothers, Phil, Dennis, and Lindsay. The Crosby brothers.
All right, panel, as you know, the case of our mystery challenger, different form of questioning. One question at a time, in turn, moving clockwise. We'll begin with Arlene Francis.
Is our guest in the entertainment business?
Yeah, you could say that, sure.
Sir?
Do you ever sing professionally?
Possible, yeah.
Miss Kilgallen?
Do you also play a musical instrument?
Haven't tried that yet.
One down and nine to go, Mr. Bishop.
Are there more than one of you?
Well, yes, you'd have to say that.
Miss Francis?
It's the McGuire sisters.
Right.
Are you best known for your club appearances?
Yes.
Mr. Seraph?
Are you brothers?
Well, they're mackerel. Yeah.
Miss Kilgallen?
Are you recording artist as well?
Well, you might say that, yes.
Mr. Bishop?
Would Gary mean more to you than a city in Indiana?
Thanks a lot, Joey. Yes, I think you would.
You got it, Joey. Say it.
The Crosby Brothers.
It is indeed Phil, Dennis, and Lindsay Crosby who are struck out on their own. And I think one of the things that the three of you must be proudest of, they're presently at the Latin Quarter, as you all know, here in New York. And they had a very successful opening night. And I think the thing they're perhaps proudest of is that one or two of the major critics went out of their way to say that while they had the capacity to bring back memories of their very talented father, they could stand on their own as performers, and that they had done a very fine job of working hard to prepare their performance. So congratulations to all three of you for that.
Thank you very much. You know, we were awful. We felt very fortunate with the critics here in the big city, and very lucky indeed.
I should think you should feel very fortunate and lucky and happy about it, because I never saw such universal praise from
We're also very glad to see you and Dorothy in for that opening night.
Oh, yes, we have to go for that.
Oh, Joyce.
Joey was working.
Where were you,
well,
Joey?
I tell you, we felt a little giddy, guilty having given away $100. You know, we thought we'd better grab him quick. Make it up, you know, the deficit.
Well, just so that we don't let that stand on the record, we'll flip all those over and the boys can tell us what to do with it later on. That's the thing. Well, I hope your good dad is watching. And congratulations again. And may I hope that you all have the wonderful, long, and successful career he has had.
Thank you very much.
And thanks a lot for coming in. I've got to congratulate you on that panel. You certainly made a quick recovery after a little bit of a rough start there. Joey, it's been great fun having you with us again.
Thank you, John.
And good night, Miss Dorothy Kilgallen.
Good night, John. Good night, and thank you for saving us from total disgrace, Joey.
Oh, thank you, Dorothy. And good night, Arlene.
Good night, dear. Good night, Tuesday.
John, for the first time, I can tell you something I've always wanted to. Go fly Mrs. Winnick's kite. Good night, John.
I liked it myself. And thank you very much for being with us on What's My Life.
What's My Line has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.